This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In. Thanks for downloading these podcasts. Thanks for listening to Intelligent Medicine. And if you don't already subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, just go to drhoffman.com and subscribe. You just enter your email. We don't use your email for any other purpose, we promise. And it's free, and you may unsubscribe at any time. If you'd like to make an appointment with me, call the office. The office number is 212-779-1744, 212-779-1744. I am available in person and telehealth. And we're in Midtown Manhattan at 635 Madison Avenue. Great neighborhood. And if you'd like to email me, the email is radioprogram@aol.com. That is radioprogram@aol.com. You may have a question that you want to hear me discuss here, that you might have a topic of interest you want me to weigh in on. That's what I'm here to do. Let's dive right in. Here is something. Increased coffee intake. Now, before I even go on, you know, every other week there's a new study about coffee is good. The next week, coffee is bad. Coffee is good. Don't drink coffee. Drink lots of coffee. Well, here's a coffee is good. Increased coffee intake could avert deaths from liver disease. Increasing per capita coffee consumption on a population level has the potential to avert liver disease-related deaths, according to study results. This is from Sarah Gardner of the Liver Transplant Unit at the Austin Hospital in Australia. And colleagues wrote that previous studies have indicated that coffee offers at least some protection against liver disease. Previous research, they say, demonstrated a 46% risk reduction in death from liver cirrhosis for people assessed at study entry as drinking 2 to 3 cups per day, and a 71% reduction in death from cirrhosis in those consuming 4 or more cups daily. They go on to say the potential global health impact of coffee intake being advocated as a liver health therapy has not previously been explored. And they say mathematical modeling is one way of exploring the potential impact of novel population level interventions. I'm a little afraid of mathematical modeling, especially with what it said about coronavirus. Anyway, researchers modeled the impact of increased per capita coffee consumption on liver-related mortality using the Global Burden of Disease 2016 data set. So, worldwide in the year 2016, there were an estimated 1,240,000 adult liver-related deaths, with the median global liver mortality rate of 15 deaths per 100,000 population per year. And Gardner and her colleagues found that if all countries had a per capita coffee intake of no more than 2 cups per day, increase that intake to more than 2 cups per day, the predicted total number of liver-related deaths would have been less, far less, would have been 630,000 in 2016, with 452,000 deaths averted. If per capita coffee consumption increased to at least 4 cups a day, the predicted number of liver-related deaths would have been 360,000 in 2016, with 723,000 deaths averted. Isn't that something, going from 2 to 4 cups? So, they quote, if the impact of coffee on liver-related mortality shown in cohort studies is confirmed in clinical trials, because remember, these are cohort studies. If this is confirmed in clinical trials, increasing per capita coffee consumption to more than 2 cups per capita per day on a population level has the potential to avert hundreds of thousands of deaths from liver disease annually, Gardner and colleagues wrote. And of course, all the researchers say at the end, further research is urgently needed to confirm the benefits and cost effectiveness of coffee on liver-related mortality. Now they're talking about drinking coffee. And as you know, a lot of people will drink a cup of coffee in the morning with breakfast or alone and have a bowel movement. It's its potential for detoxification that coffee is important in this way. Many people rely on a cup of coffee to have a bowel movement. A cup of coffee, okay, but if you're having 6 cups of coffee a day to have that bowel movement, that's a whole lot of caffeine and you're stressing out your adrenals. And if you're a poor detoxifier of caffeine, it may cause you to get jittery, which is not great. And you know when you've had too much caffeine, you start to get very distracted. You may be reading a book or the newspaper and you're not getting past the first sentence or paragraph. It's self-imposed, it's self-inflicted ADD. Right? It's adult attention deficit. It's attention deficit disorder brought on by too much caffeine, because that caffeine is mugging our adrenals into a fight or flight, and we can't pay attention to anything at that point. So it's coffee's impact on detoxification. Now, they're not talking coffee enema, which is a separate thing altogether. And coffee enema is something that was touted by many practitioners, especially the late Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, the cancer doctor. He touted the benefits of caffeine enemas, as does integrative psychiatrist Dr. Kelly Brogan. She also touts the benefits of coffee enemas. So that would be something on a detox regimen. It's also important. Now let's talk a little bit about detoxification. The liver needs to, we need to support liver function with nutrition. So those of you doing a juice fast, just juice to detox, you're not getting enough important micronutrients there because you're not getting any protein. The focus has to be to support liver function. Liver detoxification is with quality protein, healthy fats. You're not getting that in your juice fast. You're getting a lot of probably laxatives and fiber. It's not enough. And I'm going to tell you what you need. You need quality protein, healthy fats, and abundant greens, non-starchy vegetables, to ensure that metabolic detoxification processes have a good nutritional foundation, right? So, while certain foods support the body's natural detoxification pathways, food-based toxicant exposures can contribute to poor health. You don't want toxins. You don't want to eat toxins. What am I talking about? Metallic compounds in seafood like mercury. Hey, are you eating a lot of the following seafood? These are the highest in mercury. Take note. Shark, swordfish, tilefish, king mackerel, tuna, orange roughy. These are higher in mercury. Pesticide residues in fruits and vegetables. You don't want that kind of exposure. And hormones found in many dairy products. And to be sure, the diet can either be healthful and protective or have detrimental effects on our well-being. That's why you want to choose organic, grass-fed, pastured. Limiting or eliminating certain foods to reduce the total intake of toxicants while consuming more organic vegetables and fruit rich in antioxidants and anti-inflammatory nutrients can support the liver and promote efficient biotransformation and elimination. There's phase one and phase two detoxification in the liver, right? The nutrients that are used in phase one include riboflavin, that's vitamin B2, niacin, that's vitamin B3, pyridoxine, that's vitamin B6, folic acid, B12, glutathione. Glutathione is a master detoxification antioxidant. Branch chain amino acids. What are the three branch chain amino acids? Leucine, isoleucine, and valine. These are essential amino acids that you get from high biological value protein. Your animal protein, your clean animal protein. Flavonoids, phospholipids, these are important. These are the nutrients that are used for phase one detoxification, right? Which includes, you know, the detox is about the reactions that are happening to detox these toxins, oxidation, reduction, hydrolysis, all of that. And it requires these nutrients. And in phase two detoxification, where the reactions are sulfation, glucuronidation, for sulfation, you need sulfur-based cruciferous vegetables, your cabbage family, broccoli, cauliflower, your Brussels sprouts, you need all of these. Amino acid conjugation, acetylation, methylation. What are the nutrients that are used? The amino acids, glycine, taurine, glutamine, N-acetylcysteine, cysteine, methionine. You need all of these. And what are the protective antioxidants and nutrients that you need to detox all of this, to detox from the reactions of oxidation? You need carotenes, vitamin A, ascorbic acid, which is your vitamin C, the tocopherols, which are your vitamin E, selenium, copper, zinc, manganese, CoQ10. You're not getting much CoQ10 in your vegetables. You're getting that from your animal protein. Thiols, found in garlic, onions, cruciferous vegetables, bioflavonoids, pycnogenol, silymarin. This is what is important in detoxification. You know, I often give out a detox diet, which includes all of these very nutrient-dense vegetables and fruits, but it also includes good quality animal protein that is clean, organic, grass-fed, pastured. And some people come in to me saying, I did a juice fast, I did a detox. Well, what did you take? They showed me the product they took. And of course, they just drank this stuff. They didn't eat much of anything. It's not good support for the liver. It's not enough to take fiber and laxative and a few probiotics. That's not a proper detox. You need to support your liver with the critical nutrients and amino acids. These are essential amino acids found in good quality protein. Any detox regimen, do not be fooled, that says you have to do this in a vegan way or a vegetarian way. It just doesn't work that way. You're not getting the critical high biological value amino acids that your liver needs to promote and complete phase one, phase two detoxification, along with these very critical vegetables and fruits, cruciferous family, garlic, onions, all of these types of things, right? And hey, doing a detox, you want it to be supervised. You want supervision from a nutrition professional who knows if you are a good candidate for undergoing a detox. This is not meant for people under 18 years of age. This is not meant for pregnant and breastfeeding women. This is not meant for people with serious medical conditions. And this is not meant for people who are taking certain medications, and the list is very, very long, because that detox will get in the way or make those medications even more powerful, or not detox them properly. And that can be a danger. So don't undertake a detox yourself. You need supervision from a qualified nutrition professional to do this. So forget that commercial on the juice fast and take this fiber supplement that may contain a laxative like senna, you know, and those teas that you're finding, not just in the health food store anymore, but in the regular grocery store. What is that? Ballerina tea, dieter's tea. These are all laxatives. You don't want to become dependent on a laxative. This isn't just about curing constipation. You always want to make sure that you have good bowel habits, of course, to not be constipated, but that's only part of the picture. You need good nutrition support for the liver to make sure that liver is functioning adequately. A detox is not to be undertaken by somebody with liver disease. It may overburden that liver and make them sicker. The answer to your liver disease is not a detox, and certainly not by yourself. You need to first find out if you're a good candidate for a detoxification program, and you want to use good supportive nutrients and supplements and the proper diet based on your unique biochemistry to achieve this. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. So, you know, forget the TV commercials and the infomercials and things promising you, you know, all of that kind of stuff. It can be dangerous if you're taking medication, if you have a medical condition or more than one medical condition. You don't want to do this under the age of 18. And you don't want to be doing this if you're pregnant or nursing. Keep all of this in mind. And again, the first thing I started talking about on this podcast about good news about coffee. If you enjoy your coffee, yay, that's fine. So make sure your coffee is organic. If you're drinking decaf, make sure it's a Swiss process. That is also known as a water process decaffeination. Otherwise, the chemicals that are used in the decaffeination process of coffee often have a byproduct that is formaldehyde, another toxin you don't want to expose yourself to, right? You want to keep all of this in mind. Whether you're a coffee drinker and that's good for a bowel movement, that's fine. Whether you're doing coffee enemas, you know, get some advice on that. I'm not the one to get advice from on that. There are practitioners out there if you're interested in doing a coffee enema, right? And those that tout its benefits really say that they have remarkable mental clarity and well-being. That's terrific. That's terrific. And of course, if you're having a coffee enema, you don't want to use hot coffee. And again, Drinking coffee is fine because it helps stimulate peristalsis that can bring on a bowel movement, which is typically what's happening for many coffee drinkers, and that's fine. And as long as the caffeine amount is not stressing your adrenals, causing you to not be able to focus or pay attention, it's causing distraction, that's when you know it's too much caffeine. So these are all of the things to keep in mind. So again, I invite you to email me with any questions, topics of interest. That email is radioprogram@AOL.com. And I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.